Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and Doug Norrie on Tuesday night following Game 5 as the Brooklyn Nets are back home looking to close out the Boston Celtics. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. And we've got a good one, nay, a great one coming up for you as Doug Norrie and myself get on following the big victory for the Brooklyn Nets in Boston, taking a dominant 3-1 series lead. And we start where, of course, we should. The bounce-back performance from Kyrie Irving, the dominant king of the mid-range Kevin Durant, and the ideal version of James Harden for this team, facilitator galore, really setting the table as the big three go off in this one and steal the heart, we'd like to think, of the Boston Celtics as they'll come back home looking to complete the gentleman's sweep. So we highlight the big performances. We also talk about what these personalities individually need to motivate themselves, as this one got a little bit chippy. And Kevin Durant is all too willing to lean into that as he looks for every edge that he can to elevate his game. But at the end of the day, Boston is not that good of a playoff team. They had injuries in this game. They had injuries coming into the playoffs. This is the type of team we should be dominating. So hopefully you didn't get too low from losing game three, but don't shoot yourself too high on game four. There's still a long way to go. We highlight some of those concerns and we'll dive into that as we approach game number five on Tuesday. But before we do, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
To the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. That ends in Y. I'm Doug Norrie. Owner operator DFSR.com. If you need a projection, we've got it for you over there for FanDuel and DraftKings. Go check it out. And over there is Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, the host of the One Giant podcast, where he's bringing you everything you'd ever need to know about the New York football Giants with his co-host Andy Mack, who I don't ever want to talk to again. Buddy, how are we doing here on a Sunday night for everyone else, Monday morning? Following a Nets win,
we're glorious. All the stars have realigned. The constellations have coalesced to provide us with a beautiful victory for the Brooklyn Nets going away in this one over the Boston Celtics, as they should, by the way, though. So it's a sense of relief coming off of a difficult watch in game three. And it's the sense of, well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. This is what this is supposed to look like for the Brooklyn Nets in round one against this Celtics team.
Yeah, following watching the Bucks kind of just completely handle business, the Sixers just totally handle business against totally inferior teams, it was making me feel a little even more nervous about how the Nets performed in game three with the loss and, you know, Tatum going off and blah, 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 blah. We talked about it over the weekend. Go back and listen. We gave a podcast right after the game Saturday night.
Friday night.
Well, yeah, no, it wasn't glorious. It was.
The episode was glorious. The game was terrible.
The episode was a bonus episode in qualifier only. It wasn't a fun listen, probably, if you ever watched the game. But yeah, like after watching those other teams sort of just do what they needed to do against clearly inferior squads, it was became a little more troublesome leading into this game, you know, thinking about where the Nets were, and then they just kind of went out and dominated. Now, they should have. So I don't know how many feathers we can, you know, chuck into our old caps here, but I don't know. You can't knock them for the win, and so we're going to talk about that. I don't know if I feel tons better, but this is, you know, no matter what, this is exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, and I think the first and foremost storyline here is, however much, and we talked about it on the previous episode as well, however much you wanted to invest in Kyrie's return to Boston and his pregame comments and Danny Ainge, everything that went along with it, he came back in this one and had the type of performance that you expect from him. So, you know, that's a big component of it. And I don't think that neither you nor I were over-investing that, oh my goodness, could this be, you know, the unraveling of one Kyrie Irving? No, of course not. But you do want to see him just finding his rhythm. So he has a great bounce back game here, plays 41 minutes, gives you 39 points. I wouldn't, you know, listen, the shooting percentage isn't the greatest, but I love that from beyond the arc, he was very strong, 6 of 12, because that's a part of his game that is a little bit of an ebb and flow. So seeing that rhythm come in this one was nice as well.
Yeah, for sure. This is where, you know, we talked about last game. We thought he might have been disengaged, and it was following the comments, and so that maybe there was a little bit more of a media light or even our own light shining on him than would have normally ever happened in a situation like this. I think last game, had it not been for the comments pregame, I'm not saying he shouldn't have said them, I'm just saying that he did. There was a little, you know, everyone's, you know, kind of taking an extra glance, wanted to see what he does, and when that happens, it just wasn't the game you wanted to see out of him. Neither of us thought that it was going to be a situation where, oh, he's done for the series or he's out of his head. No, it just happened to be one game. He played very poorly. He could not score. It came right after he had made comments that had, you know, garnered massive media attention just across the landscape. So you have to talk about it. But what you do know is that this is not a guy who, you know, deals with these situations for very long, and all of a sudden he just comes back out and just simply, I mean, 50% from three on 12 shots, made everything from the line, 39 points, looked like he couldn't miss. There was a time they didn't really need to dagger him in the third quarter, and he still did it.
Yeah.
Basically by just coming down the court every single time and just draining threes from above the above the free throw line. So it was, if you're the kind of person that was worried about Kyrie Irving after that performance and just worried that he was in his own head and Boston's going to be a problem and all this other stuff, and, you know, he made these comments but he just can't kind of get out of his own way, okay, mission accomplished there. It's over. Like, he just went out and did it. So if you're going to take things from this game, you know, sort of, you know, opponent independent, you can feel really, really, really good about this performance.
Especially when you think about the fact that they, you know, came out of the first quarter trailing by one, right? Another first quarter, and we've seen this in general around this team, and certainly we continue to go back to this idea of them getting their reps. That is the big three. But, you know, you're down a point coming out of the first quarter, 34-33, and then they just turn it on. And by the way, the other thing that turned on around Kyrie's performance in this game is the defensive effort and energy. And we'll probably sprinkle in some of the lineup stuff along the way through this episode. We'll come back in because we have 2 days here before, or Tuesday night, so we'll only have one more episode to kind of dissect maybe a couple more things from this one. But they turned some of the intensity up on the defensive end of the floor, and then the offense continues to click. And if you go back just one game prior, KD and Harden were getting theirs, and it was just this missing component. The stat line on Kyrie wasn't even atrocious from the prior game. It's just that, again, not fully engaged, not fully in rhythm, so the offense ended up having some of these stagnated possessions and stretches where Boston was able to pour it on a little bit and get out to a nice lead.
Yeah, for sure. And not like I didn't think the loss was on him last game. I thought there was plenty of other things that went wrong. It just became the
Blake Griffin. Sorry.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, that's another thing. I mean, 18 minutes tonight. We'll get to talking about that tomorrow. We're going to save the Blake Griffin talk for tomorrow. I don't know if I have good thoughts about sort of where to pivot, but I don't want to just drag us down here by talking about that component of the game. But I don't think that we looked at that Kyrie game as thinking that this is the reason, you know, this is the reason it went bad. The Nets definitely have problems right now. I don't think we're going to get to this later on the show. The Nets are not a perfect team. I don't think anyone could call them that, especially as we get to this part of the season where we're going to start really honing in on championship level teams and who's bringing a sort of a complete level of game of basketball. The Nets have their own problems. The good thing you want to see, though, is that they have the 141 in them, right? And you have the 141 points in you when Kyrie drops 39. Because at that point, you can erase a lot of other problems other places if you just have the ability to do this on a given game. And you can do this on a given game when Kyrie has the whole bag, kind of just like he's throwing it all out there, which he was definitely doing tonight. Getting to the rim, going to hit the in-rhythm threes, he's going to be able to get to the line. All that stuff, when it's happening for him, then the Nets are a very, very, very dangerous team, which we saw tonight. And so that's where you just wanted to see after that Boston game, or excuse me, after the Boston game three, the comments and stuff, you wanted to just be able to see, all right, does he have it in his head to be back into this stuff? Yes, obviously, right? We're back here now, that all that other storyline is gone. He's going to be able to do what he's going to do. Are there other problems? Sure, but this is not going to be one of them going forward.
No, 104 combined points for the big three, right? If that's the table that you're setting in most playoff games, you're going to feel good about what this team can produce. Again, it's always been about all three of them doing it together, all looking comfortable, all playing their roles at the same time. When one of them struggles or gets taken away or whatever reason doesn't have their same type of performance, it puts pressure on other areas. And as we were highlighting, you're going to continue to highlight that loss of Jeff Green and what it's done to this rotation, it now does put the focus on a game-to-game basis on the big three, saying, hey, you need to be checking these boxes every single time out just to make sure, even against a bad team, a bad playoff team like Boston, to make sure that we're going to be getting these wins. And tonight was an example where everybody pulled their weight.
All right, we're going to talk about some more of this stuff with the Nets. We're going to talk about KD, obviously. Didn't want to, just seem like we forgot his performance here in the glow of what Kyrie put out there. But KD went out there and did what he was supposed to do. Also, first, got to talk to you about our friends over at Indeed. If you're the hiring expert for your company, you need a short list of quality candidates. It can be hard to do. Sometimes you can just feel like, everyone's qualified or no one is. You need a hiring partner who makes your life easy. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get a quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. And you're only going to pay for the candidates that have those must-have qualifications. You can also schedule and complete video interviews in that Indeed dashboard. Nothing easier if you need to find a new hire for your company. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent super fast, very easy. You can choose from more than 130. That's a lot of different skills tests here, buddy. 130 skills tests, and you have those must-have requirements. So you only pay for the applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. Get started right now with free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. And when you're done with your hiring, you're going to need to get yourself leveled up with some protein. And that is where Built Bar is going to come in. The absolute best protein bar on the market. Point, stop. The case is solved. This is just easy science, folks. Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors. Wait to hear these. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. I'm not reading you ice cream flavors, folks. These are actual protein bar flavors. It's actually good for you. Built Bar has solved this, and you need to go over and get some. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. If you're a stat head, that is exactly what you want to hear. Order today. You're going to get my favorite mint brownie, but also just whatever you like. Right now, go over to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's locked like our podcast network. 15 for the 15% you're going to get off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
And of course, today's episode of The Road to the Finals, our NBA playoff coverage, is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Remember, we're talking about a game that we came off 104 points from our big three. I've got all the suspicions of a gentleman's sweep on Tuesday night for these guys. Be sure to enjoy Michelob Ultra with those 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Now, when we talk about, I know we were going to get into the next storyline of not being dismissive of or failing to mention Kevin Durant, but because I think we're going to spend a lot of time on his game in this one, I'm just going to quickly throw out there that the other guy, the architect of the offense, James Harden, had a gentleman's 18 assists. I feel like that's worth highlighting. Yeah, it's no big deal. This guy just, if no one's paying attention, I had almost the same number of assists as I did points, and I scored 23 points, but I also gave you 18 assists to go along with an 8 of 12 shooting performance. So, I mean, he really, again, when these guys settle back into their roles, and this is why Kyrie is so important in how he's playing offensively, when he's playing off ball and Harden gets to really lean into the facilitator role. Go back to the last loss. It's nice to see Harden go off. And by the way, he threw out some of those unnecessary dagger threes as well with Kyrie in this one. But you want him in this role where he is setting everybody else up and orchestrating the offense. That's where when everything is really clicking. So definitely, obviously, have to tip our hat to him before we turn the attention over to the 42-point performance from Kevin Durant. I mean, listen, they say the mid-range is dead, but not in KD's mind, because this dude was willing to lean into that thing hot and heavy, wet and wild, all game long. And he got to his spots nonstop, rose up above every single defender they threw at him. And really, you know, the only thing was, what, a little bit of a sluggish start from the Nets here at the start of this game. But once he started going, that was it. It was back off, get out of his way. And guess what? If you're going to be chirpy, like some of the Celtics were with him, dude has the trash-talking game as well. And that only seems to fuel his fire and why you saw these guys stay out there as long as they did.
I think Kyrie has, I don't know, basketball is not his main focus, but he has things that he, you know, wants to accomplish in his life, and I really, really respect that. I think KD's thing is to be an absolute assassin, and I don't think anyone thinks that KD is not a certain, I don't think he's outside of, I don't think anyone in the world thinks he's outside of the top four best basketball players in the world, except he thinks everyone thinks that, and that is what motivates him. And you can see it on a game-to-game basis here where are guys like Fournier talking to him? Yeah, is Grant Williams just kind of knocking him? Sure. Are they kind of trying to get into his head? I think a little bit. I think they mostly know they're not doing anything but stoking the bear, but I think he absolutely loves it, right? Like I think he already thinks it about himself, that he has something to prove here. And you can sort of just see it on a game-to-game basis where – okay, he leaves OKC, and it's out of, you know, he leaves there to go to Golden State, and people kind of jive him for, you know, just kind of, you know, going and chasing championships. Okay, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do, but okay, people had a problem with it.
We don't want to go work in the best spot to win to do the biggest thing in your industry, right?
Like, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous, but fans make a big deal about it when they don't have anything to talk about. So, right, okay, that's and so he leaves there to go forge a new path, and then. Yet probably still feels remnants of sort of just being, you know, called to task about this stuff. And I think he's just, we called him an apex predator before because that's just what he is in the basketball court. And you don't get to be that point unless you just take umbrage with every single thing anyone ever sees or looks or does to you. And I think we saw that from KD. I love it. I just absolutely love it because he's finding ways to be up by 25 and getting pissed off in these games. And this is actually how you go and make sure you go and win championships. Yeah, he drops 42. It's a complete game. You can't stop him in the mid-range. If he has this game going, good luck. You take Kawhi and bring a double. I'm not sure how you stop him. You know, like I just don't really know what you do. And I love that he still has the chippiness to continue to bring it even when games are out of hand.
Well, and it's funny because it was going down the court with Marcus Smart, and you could see him mouthing. He's like, we're going to keep coming. He's just, like I said, motivating himself. Likewise, you saw Kyrie after a foul down on the defensive end. He's on the line. I think it was Grant Williams where he's like, yeah, all right, man, I fouled you. Let's go. Come on. Yeah, I fouled you. Like, let's get on with it. But they're chirpy. Just to contrast those personalities, when Harden makes the big play, he does that little snarl face, like back to his own bench, but he doesn't, like, it's like he's snarling about himself, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, he's all internal to your point of, I want to be executing my game the way I see it. Whereas I think Kyrie and then KD to that next level is like, I want to exert my will on you because to your point, you've all been talking S on me. You've all been saying it. You all think that I'm washed up, that I wasn't going to come back, whatever it is. And it's very reminiscent of Kobe Bryant, very reminiscent of Michael Jordan, I think, kind of mentality. Not a lot of guys can touch them. And I don't think that KD is overly outward with it. But I think the mental makeup is there where he's sitting there looking around the court saying, which one of you thinks that you can D me up? Marcus Smart, Grant, you know, Williams, whoever it's going to be. Even Tatum, by the way, right? Like, yeah, okay, fine, because that's a tough assignment on the defensive end for KD, for anybody to take on Tatum. But guess what? He went on the offensive end and exploited him time after time as well. So this was just a really satisfying performance from Kevin Durant in that regard. And I always love guys that are willing to lean into that mid-range shot, which he did. 20 attempts, only 3 of those from beyond the arc.
Oh, completely. I mean, this is just what, in a game that you have to win and you're supposed to win, and you're up a lot, but you're on still a championship trajectory, you need to have these guys finding reasons, like I said, to be pissed off, to stay engaged, to not feel like it's easy. I think every team that's actually in this mindset right now, and when you look across the basketball landscape, is all finding this within themselves in some respect, right? You see the Bucks just kind of dismantling the Heat. But they're dismantling them on the, oh, you don't think that we're a championship team anymore? Oh, you wanted to play us in the first round? Okay, here you go. You're about to get swept, right? Like, they do that. You get the Sixers just kind of taking care of business. You have the teams out in the West who are kind of all finding their own reasons. I mean, they're kind of in more of a dogfight, a little bit more than the Nets are. But, like, all these teams are finding these sort of stories for themselves. At this point, especially in the first round, if it's going to be sort of easy, you do need to find a story for yourself to make it so that you either stay engaged or do the thing you're supposed to do, like what the Nets are supposed to do tonight, win, right? Like, this is like, you need to kind of sometimes dig deep on this stuff. And when you see KD get, like, what on earth would be the upside for another player to make KD mad? Right, like,
that's what I want to know. Like, shouldn't you always just be like giving him a pat on the backside, going like, "Ah, good shot, buddy." You know, like, isn't that what you should be doing every? Listen, you're not gonna, you know, give him lip service. Marcus Smart is a nasty, tenacious defensive player. But what are you doing? What do you think the end game is of trying to rile up a player that is one of the top in his position in the game in his career? Like, I don't understand that mentality if you're one of these lessers. Maybe that's what gets you hyped up, but you should look long and hard in the mirror before you go pick out Bruce Brown, right? Go pick out Nick Claxton. Pick out somebody that you think you can really maybe take out and pump yourself up. Not the best player on the court.
But it's like a perfect symbiotic relationship in that way, because those other guys can't get to this point of their career without having this in them, because it's what motivates them to be able to get there. Except that when they reach this level, they can't turn the switch off. But then that's what, again, like I said, an apex predator, that's what makes the predator even more invited to kill the prey. Because, like, you got all the apex predator doesn't worry about the little bunny hopping through the forest. You know, it's just going to go, it's going to go kill the next thing in line. That's how it feeds. And so this whole system just sort of feeds on itself. So KD needs these guys who just have to invite, like, they have to get themselves hyped up enough to play against a guy like Kevin Durant. Except that what they don't realize is, to get yourself hyped up enough to play against Kevin Durant, to do all those things, you're then going to make him even more hyped up to play against you, and then you're dead. So, and that's just kind of how the ecosystem continues to work. All right, we're going to talk about why this game shouldn't be maybe the game that the Nets fans out there can get all that excited about, even though it's a nice win, but. I don't know. Is there all that much to take from it? First, I'm going to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Basketball playoffs rolling through. It's been a really good first round. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting and betting needs. MLB, NBA, NHL, and even UFC if you're a weekend fight kind of guy or gal. It's all there on Bet Online. Before the next tip-off, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news and sign-up bonuses they have. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as we roll through the playoffs. Head on over to BetOnline and sign up. That's for free, but you're going to want to make a deposit. And when you do, grab a 50% welcome bonus on that deposit, but you have to use the promo code Locked On, just like our podcast network. Promo code Locked On, Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so here's the deal. Maybe the game three is just the thing that an apex predator needs to rile himself up. Can't believe you came out and you didn't get the job done as good as his individual performance was for KD. But if you were in between being in the lowest of lows after losing that game three versus the highest of highs winning this game four, you might want to temper yourself a little bit, because as you and I, before we're getting on here, the competition that you're going up against, I mean, you know, we're not burying any leads here. If you watch the game, everybody knows there was no Kemba Walker in this one for the Boston Celtics, on top of already not having Jaylen Brown for the remainder of the postseason. And then they also didn't have Robert Williams III, that is, who did a really nice job on the glass and was a disruptive force that the Nets had a hard time dealing with in the games prior. This is not, you know, Boston Celtics that you have in your mind over the last handful of seasons. This is the Boston Celtics team with Tatum, and there's nothing else. You know, and that's it. This is a Tatum team. Obviously Smart. There's some nice pieces on this roster, but you should be dominating them, because this is not a Boston Celtics team that should necessarily be shouldn't have won a game, I guess is really the point, right? You shouldn't have lost that game three to them. You shouldn't lose any games to this roster.
Yeah, this is the worst team in the playoffs right now. There's no other way to slice it. This is the worst playoff team, I guess. Maybe a sort of banged up Wizards team is close.
Maybe the Knicks.
This team. What's that?
No, I'm kidding.
We don't need to invite that. I promised myself not to engage sports fans on a daily basis. This is exactly why I love talking on the podcast. I love talking hoops. I don't think I can get into that. Can't dive into that well. But no, this is the worst playoff team there is. It's not their fault. They've just been dealt a terrible, round of injuries. If this was Tatum, Jaylen Brown, to some degree, Robert Williams, Kemba Walker's out there, I would never say that. They've just had really poorly timed injuries, and that's made them. And they were already sort of a very top-heavy team to begin with. So, and most teams, when you get to the playoffs, are top-heavy. That's just what happens when you have superstars on your squad. It's really hard to sort of have a really, really balanced squad. But this is just not a team that's very good at this point when it comes to the playoffs. So, yeah, they win 141 to 126. I'm a little concerned that the Boston put up 126 with this team, right? I know they were taking it easy near the end, and they put up 35 in the fourth quarter, so I get it. They also put up 34 in the first quarter when everyone was trying. So that's that's not exactly the number you want to see. I don't think the Nets, for as much as they were doing on offense, the defense is still very suspect. The second chance points are still a problem. So I'm very glad they won in that I didn't want to really start sweating out a 2-2 series, but I can't look at this win and say, oh, all the problems are solved. This game didn't answer any of those questions at all for me. It was, do we know Kevin Durant can score a lot of points? Yeah, we already knew that. Can Kyrie score a lot of points? Sure, we already knew that. The problems that we were worried about with this team, were any of those answered in this game? Absolutely not.
Yeah, and that's really not the problem per se, but that's why this is a neutral victory. It's great to get the victory. It's obviously important to be up 3-1 because now you probably stole the heart out of Boston. You go home, take care of them. Okay, move on to the next round. But because you've lost Jeff Green, you see how it impacts the rotation. We're going to get into that rotation again on tomorrow's episode and really how they try to mitigate it. But you have to understand the Boston team that you play in this series is not going to confirm or deny any of the concerns and whether or not you can get past those concerns, specifically on the defensive end, until you're in a series against the Bucks. Like, that's when you're going to know if you can figure it out or not. That's when you're going to know how bad some of the deficiencies are. And we can sit here right now and say we know that it's not like, player X is all of a sudden going to become another stratosphere of what he's been over the course of his career, or over the course of the season, or over the course of the Boston series. But this game didn't answer any new questions. If anything, it just reiterated, yes, we have problems at the 4-5. There were stretches in this game where Kevin Durant was full-blown the 5. And there were points where they had 3 full-on guards and the occasional Joe Harris sprinkled in. Like, the rotations got funky here at times for the Nets in this game. And they were able to do that because it was the Celtics. You're not going to be able to do that against the Bucks. You're not going to be able to do that against the 76ers. When you get into these weird, funky, hodgepodge lineups, and Tyler Johnson gets brought in for stretches and Shamit, you're going to see how badly you can get punished. And when maybe you can't exert yourself offensively with consistency like they did tonight, then all of a sudden these games are going to be tighter. You're going to be down for stretches, and then we're going to get right back to that same thing we always talk about, getting the stops defensively so you can let your offense handle the heavy load.
Yeah, and if you think this game for you as a Nets fan answer that, I just hate to tell you, it really shouldn't, right? Because this game didn't do any of that. This game was, hey, we just have too much offensive firepower for you. We didn't really solve any of the other core issues. We just know on most nights against this squad that's going to throw out, Langford in place of Kemba Walker. Not like Kemba is like a great defender, but like, you're also not going to get anything. You're not going to get much on defense or much on offense from him. Or if you're going to play Peyton Pritchard for 24 minutes, Like, that's not going to tell us anything about our chances to win the championship. Like, this is, it's going to tell us our ability to put a drop 140 on your head. Okay, we'll do that. We don't need to play a ton of defense. But in terms of solving issues around this team, this game told you nothing as a Nets fan. And frankly, it made me more worried. But I'm still the same amount of neutral worried, especially around the Bucks. I guess we can talk about this tomorrow. But like, that team looks terrifying right now. And if you think that this Nets team can go up and just hang toe-to-toe with them, they probably can, but it's not going to be easy, man. Like, this team still has a lot of problems. And this Boston game, they allowed 126 to a Boston team that has nobody. This is still kind of problematic here.
Yeah, again, 104 points from the big three. So, yeah, if you do 104 points every single game, you're going to be able to hang with the Bucks. It's going to be exciting games. But, again, one player having an off shooting night, or one player being shut down by a Drew Holiday, or the length of a Middleton, like all those little factors that you talk about with a Bucks team, then you're going to need to look for the next answer. And that's really where the questions lie for the Nets. And by the way, that's why I think you saw the big three on the floor. They're still trying to get their reps. I set it out on Twitter towards the end of the game here. If you think about the Nets going all the way for a championship, they'll need 16 wins, not just games played, but 16 total wins. That'll be double the amount of games that these guys played in the regular season. So I don't think the one thing we keep saying, that, you know, it's hard to take away a lot from press conferences and from the coaching staff. But when Nash says we're just going to have to just play through and deal with the fact that we don't have a lot of reps together, that's a truth. That is an honest statement where he's like, it's just the reality for us, and we're going to have to see how it impacts us as we work our way through the first, second, and hopefully, you know, third, and all the way to the championship. But it's going to be growing pains, and this is a good sample size to try to get all the positive you can out of it and now duplicate it so you feel like it is a repeatable process on a night-to-night basis.
All right, we're going to be back again tomorrow, obviously. We're going to do a little game preview for Tuesday. We'll talk about, you know, some more about what's going on here with this Nets team. I mean, we're going to talk specifically around the Jeff Green loss. I think that has very much reared its ugly head over the last two games. We kind of joked about what this loss would mean, if we could sort of stem the tide without having him be there. I think we've seen over these last two games that he might have been a lot more important to the overall scheme than And we knew it was important, but it actually might have even been more important than we thought about. So we'll get a little bit more into that tomorrow. In the meantime, we're going to be on Locker Room following the Tuesday game. So go check that out. We'll give a reminder on tomorrow's podcast as well. But go sign up for Locker Room and make sure you join us after that game. Also, rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. 5 stars or bust. If you're a 4-star person, just beat it. Don't even need you around. Come on, just go the extra star. Like, what's the meaning to you? It's like, it's nothing off. It's nothing for you. Just go the extra star. Just like, no reason to just dig us. And also write a review now that we've ingratiated ourselves to you. So go and write a nice review. It really helps us climb the podcast charts. Rate and review wherever you listen.
What could be more apt? The more I learn, the more I realize how much I don't know. Al Einstein.
Oh, one of the all-time great, not just poets, whatever. The science thing was overrated. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.